Kelly, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion, and we'll take communion and well, we do this every Sunday. We do it on purpose. We release our faith in it. Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and direly is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So if we do discern the body of Christ, then we can expect to live healthy, long lives. Amen? The way you discern the body of Christ is to look at this. This is mitzvah bread, by the way. This is the exact way God said to make that bread. He didn't say anything about any little white rice wafers. Try to say that three times. But he did say to make this bread without yeast, without leaven. That typifies the body of Christ. Jesus was certainly without sin. Yeast in the Bible is typifies sin. And Jesus' body was certainly without sin. And this bread was also beaten. It's all flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. This bread also has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Jesus was pierced. While he was on that cross, that Roman soldier put a spear in his side. And this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him when Jesus was on that cross. The judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took it. His body was broken. So we're taking this for our healing and our wholeness. We want the life of Christ in us. He shed his blood, not only for the remission of our sins, but we get protection out of his blood. We get deliverance out of his blood. And his blood seals in the New Testament for us. We receive his promises, and we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Communion is fun when you follow the directions. Amen. Well, what say you? Are you hanging out with me today, or are you going to children's church? Okay, then.
Did you lose your shoes again?
Open up your Bibles to John chapter 19, verse 30, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and now we can open up your word. And we know that the Holy Spirit will be here to help us rightfully divide your word of truth. So that we can look in there and we can learn of Jesus. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 19, verse 30. If you got a place in your Bible with an empty space, you know, in the front of the Bible, sometimes there's empty pages or something, draw a cross in there. Put a cross in there. Just draw a cross. And I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the cross made all the difference. John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus was on that cross, and he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. You know, we're going to study that verse, not today, But we're going to do a full-blown study on that verse, and it's going to take us probably a month to get through that one verse. But it's important for you to know what is finished. You know, on one side of the cross, we have Adam's way. And on the other side of the cross, we have Jesus' way. The cross made all the difference, and it changed everything. You know, what was said on one side of the cross isn't pertinent on the other side of the cross. Sometimes people get confused about this. Preachers get confused about this. You know, there's not a preacher alive that has any business preaching the law to you. If you've been born again, you've been put into a whole new way. It's important for Christians to understand what side of the cross they're on, where they fit into this deal. Amen? Now turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we're going to see a very profound thing. And, you know, it seems like it ought to be simple enough, but it's not. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You'd think that would be simple enough. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But there's a lot of Christians running around in condemnation. And that's not necessary. The cross made the difference. I'm going to tell you a little secret about the devil. He likes to beat up on Christians. He hates people in general, but he likes to beat up on Christians. And you want to know what his favorite tool is? His favorite tool to beat up on Christians with? The law. How does he do that? Well, a Christian will make a mistake. And the devil will come up there and say, "Sister, I seen you smoking that cigarette behind the church. And you call yourself a Christian? I seen you holler at your wife. And then you went to church. And you call yourself a Christian?" I thought I was like a bastard child there for a long time. Because husbands and wives argue sometimes. Imagine that. And I thought, I'm toast. I'm not going to survive this deal. You want to know when I got my biggest relief? Well, a friend of mine who's a pastor, he said some of the best fights him and his wife had were on the way to church. Okay, he's okay, I'm okay, I'm going to make it. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you bring two completely different people and pin them up in the same room day after day after day after day? Somebody's going to say, "You're an idiot. You're not supposed to squeeze the toothpaste that way. And if you don't learn to put the toilet seat down, I'm going to twist your neck shut." You know, you women would save a lot of trouble if you just learn how to put that thing up.
I'm glad I have them in my house.
Well, Romans chapter 8 says there's no condemnation from God. It's not coming from God. There's no condemnation from God. He's on your side. So if you make a mistake, when you make a mistake, let's just clear the slate there. When you make a mistake, and the devil comes creeping in there to make you feel bad, tell him to get. Remind them that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for you. If you're feeling bad about a mistake that you made 6 years ago, you need to stop. You got to understand that the blood of Jesus has wiped that away. Amen? And you need to get on with life. Go forward. You know, Jesus paid for our freedom on that cross. He shed his blood so that we could be free. Amen? Let's look over here to Ephesians chapter 4, because I did say in Christ. Remember, it says there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, when you get born again, you get brought into the body of Christ. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, there's a whole denomination that bases its whole existence on that one verse. There is one baptism that's essential to salvation. And that's being born again. Once you get born again, when you say, Jesus, be my Lord, you get baptized into the body of Christ. What's that mean? Your life is wrapped in Christ now. You're hid in Christ. You've been dunked, basically. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. Completely submersed, immersed. Amen? That's not the only baptism there is. There's baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's baptism of water. There's baptism of fire. There's a lot of stuff in there. But that one baptism, saying, Jesus be my Lord, that is the one baptism that's necessary to salvation. Amen? So now, once you get born again, you are in Christ. So there's therefore now no condemnation to you. Now go to Romans chapter 8. You know, Satan absolutely hates Romans chapter 8. There's so much freedom in Romans chapter 8. Every Christian should read that. You know, we do a study on that every once in a while. It takes a long time to get through Romans chapter 8 when you break it down. But the freedom you get from each verse when you tear it down, and you're going to get that kind of freedom from It Is Finished. You're going to love it. There's a lot of stuff. But when you tear it down verse by verse, it gets real exciting. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How about that? Not only are you born again, but you become a son of God or daughter of God. You become a child of God, not a servant. You are not a servant. We do serve. I don't take that lightly, but we do serve God. But you're sons, you're daughters. See, it's important to see this, how this relationship is between you and God. You're not a subject. You're not a number. You're a very personal child of His. Amen? so personal that he's counted. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And just in case you're wondering, he knows where they fell out. And they're going to get put back. Now, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Hey, Ron, could you do me a favor and turn the fans off, please? They keep changing my pages on my Bible. So Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So now we've seen three things right there. Found out that once we get born again, we're in Christ. There's no condemnation for us. We're sons. We can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And right there it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're baptized into Christ. We're sons. We're led by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life. That's grace. That's the Jesus side of the cross. You know, when he got off that cross, when he come back to life, he didn't go back. He didn't go back to that other side of the cross. And don't you go back there. You stay in the grace side of this deal. And you stay over here on that grace side of the deal. Don't go over to that law of the Spirit of death. The law of the Spirit of death is the law. You know, the Ten Commandments that Christians spend, I don't know how many millions of dollars they've spent fighting to put the Ten Commandments on every courthouse lawn and in the sight of everybody so they can see what we did. And if they would just shut up and read the Bible for a little bit, they'd find out that God kept the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant under the mercy seat out of the sight of the people because he didn't want them to live in condemnation. Now, if you want to do something, put 10 things that Jesus did by grace on those courthouse lawns. Amen? He did a lot of things by grace. Put those out there in the sight of the people. You'll get something done. So we literally have the New Testament contrasting the Old Testament. We have the Jesus way of doing things versus the Adam way of doing things. Paul called the Old Covenant the ministry of death. You ever wonder why you don't see the Ten Commandments in this church? In this building? I agree with God. I don't want you guys looking at that stuff. Amen? I want you to look to the cross. I want you to look to Jesus. Behold him. Amen? People look to the law, all they see is their own shortcomings. When you look to Jesus, all you're going to see is his victory. Amen? And you're going to see him in his grace. And then faith is going to happen in your heart. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Sometimes I had a struggle reading the Bible, and I had to figure out these little Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're all in a little group. I call it Galatians eat pork chops. They're all in a little group. They're after the Romans and Corinthians thing. but they're before all the T's and all that stuff. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. First thing you have to do, no man is justified by the law. Well, somebody will say, well, these good works that I do, they're not part of the law. I said, if you're doing anything to try to earn your own righteousness in the sight of God, it's not going to work. What's that mean? If you're trying to get yourself in right standing with God by your good behavior, by your good works, by your efforts, stop. Understand that the blood of Jesus has put you in right standing with God. And now because of that, you can go out and you can do good works. Amen? You can have good behavior. But you're not doing that to earn anything from God. You're receiving the gift of grace and the abundance, the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace so that you can rule and reign over sin. Amen? Your life is wrapped up in Christ. That's how we win. Amen? Now, next part of that verse says, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Have you ever thought about that? Most people would say faith in God. How about this? Faith in what Jesus did for you on that cross. Faith in what He did for you in His death, burial, and resurrection. Faith in what His blood has done for you. Remember, the Bible says to believe on Jesus. Believe on Him. We're believing what He did for us. Amen? Now go over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. How do you frustrate the grace of God? Start trying to earn something that He's already given you. Start trying to be something. I mean, you know, people always, they always seems like if you don't earn it, how can you expect to receive it? If the medicine don't burn, how can it work? Look, if you're hot rod enough to be able to do something that's more precious than the blood of Jesus, more valuable than that blood, then go ahead. Go ahead, but it's not going to work because you're not able to do that. See, the whole thing, all through the Bible, it's always showing this thing about righteousness. People don't understand this, but righteousness is right standing with God. In the garden, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they were in right standing with God. See, there was nothing wrong between them until Adam sinned, and then they got kicked out of the garden. They weren't in right standing with God anymore. And then they had to come up. They came to Mount Sinai. They came up with the law. Well, actually, before that, Abraham cut a covenant with God. And he believed God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Adam was in a covenant of grace. Abraham was in a covenant of grace with God. And then they got to Mount Sinai, and the children said, that's just not good enough for us. They told God, said, you tell us what we need to do to be in right standing with you, and we are more than able to do what it is you require. And the very first thing they did was make a golden calf. And then they just kept on blowing it and blowing it and blowing it. They were never in right standing with God until they would sacrifice an animal. They do that every year. God found fault with that covenant. So he put Jesus here on that cross and gave us a new covenant and said, now believe on him. So we go out and get people born again. And here's one of the biggest things. People run around and say, you need to get born again. You're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. If they just stop right there, that'll be good. But what they'll do is they'll go, you're saved by grace. Now here's these five things that you're going to have to do in order to... Well, I'm saved by grace or what? That they'd say, you're saved by grace. Now here's five things that will help you in your victory walk with Christ. That would be a different thing. Amen? And if they're following the Bible, that'd be a good thing. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, said, You're not saved. What do you mean I'm not saved? He said, you don't read your Bible. You don't go to church. You're not a mason. You're not a member of the fire department. And there's one other thing. He said, I didn't know nothing, but I knew that wasn't right. What has that got to do with any? What has being a mason got to do with being born again? You see how man's efforts fog up the whole thing. Amen? You're born again. You're saved by grace. Now there's a whole bunch of things in there that'll help you. You know, you can get water baptized. That's a good thing. If you don't get water baptized, you still get to go to heaven. And you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. But did you know that you can go to heaven and not ever speak in tongues? You know, you can read your Bible all the time or a little bit. Those are good things. You can fast and pray. Those are good things. They're not going to keep you out of heaven. Those are good things for the development of our spirits. Our souls. Amen? But just keep them in context, in the proper place, in proper order. So now we see the law of faith in the Spirit of grace. The law in faith, the law of faith in the Spirit of grace. So we believe what he did for us on that cross. Amen? Let's go over here. We're going to see a kind of a neat thing. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Now we're back here in the garden. And God said a peculiar thing to Adam. Chapter 3, verse 19 says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Oh, wow. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn your bread, boy. Sweat speaks of stress. You know, when you get stress, you start sweating. But before stress happened, there was something else that happened. Go to verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So before there was stress, there was fear. Adam was afraid, and that put him under stress, so he started sweating. But before that, there was something else. Go to verse 11. He said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded you, and thou shouldest not eat? What happened was Adam realized that he had made a mistake, and he fell under condemnation. He fell under condemnation. And then he was afraid of the judgment of God. And it caused him great stress. How many Christians have ever been in those shoes? Every single one of us have. That's why it's so very important to rightfully divide the word of truth. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If you feel yourself worried and stressed and afraid of God, stop. Jesus took care of it. He took care of it. Well, I just made a mistake. Then thank God for the blood of Jesus that has washed away all your sins, past, present, and future. Oh, now how could you say he washed away my future sins? I said, well, honey, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus was on there, every sin you ever made was a future sin. So get over your bad little self and get to praising God. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. You just got to love Jesus for what he's done. I mean, and when you find out, the more you learn of him, the more freedom you're going to get. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. What are the unsearchable riches of God? You're saved by grace. You are saved by grace. Grace means undeserved, unmerited favor. I mean, there's nothing you could have possibly done to earn that. There is no way you could have possibly been good enough to deserve salvation. But God in his goodness gave it to you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it, but we can receive it. Go to 1 John chapter 3. You know, when we're faced with a problem, we need to find the root of that problem. And it's based in fear that's caused by condemnation. Amen. You're afraid because of some condemnation that you have accepted from the devil. You know, your shouting verse should be, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, what that's saying is, I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. That should be your shouting verse. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know, you're going to come face to face with Jesus one of these days. Some of us, depending on the choices we make, seem to get there faster. You know, but we're going to come face to face with Jesus, and we're going to see him for the way he is, and you're going to be okay. If you're afraid to meet Jesus today, then we need to have some more Bible discussions. Amen. Jesus took care of everything that we did wrong. Amen. He wants us to come running to him. When we make a mistake, he wants us to come running to him. A person's natural tendency, and it shouldn't be this way, but people's tendency is to fall back into the Adam way of doing things. Go hide behind a bush. As if God doesn't know where you're at. God was walking in his garden. He said, Adam, where are you? As if he didn't know where he was at. What was God doing? God was getting Adam to locate himself. See, we need to locate ourselves. When we make a mistake, do we go hide in the bushes and hope God doesn't find us? Or do we go running to him and say, "I blew it. Show me how to fix this. I can't." Amen. Now, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. You know, how many of you went down to verse 9 if we confess our sins? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Well, that's true. But did you know if you're born again, he's not talking to you? Oh. You know, John's not talking to Christians in that chapter. He starts that chapter, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard." Whoops. Every other time John starts the chapter, he says, "My beloved, my brethren." He addressed Christians with "my beloved, my brethren." Right here, he's talking to Gnostics in this verse. And he's witnessing to them. And this is what he says. He gets down to verse 7. Says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walk in the light of Christ that you have. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. How many of you and me have spent a lot of time asking God to forgive them? You know, we'll hit our knees and ask God to forgive us. You know, if you just shut up and listen for a second, you might hear him say, "I already did that 2,000 years ago." And he did. Now, what our job is to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. That's the waterfall of forgiveness. You can get up off your knees now and start praising God. Amen? Ain't you glad you don't got to go to confession no more? Amen? You're free! You are free. You're free in Christ. Now go to verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 17. I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Woohoo! How about that? There's a lot of Christians running around afraid of the judgment of God. That's not necessary, because Jesus took care of that. But herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, take your favorite crayon and circle this. If you got a Bible that's so holy you can't write in it, go put that one under a case. Get with me. I'll go get you a Bible that you can write in. Because you need to see this stuff. You need to underline this stuff. Circle this verse. As he is, so are we in this world. So how is Jesus right now? Thumbs up. He's good. As God sees him, that's how he sees you. Here's an interesting thing about the Old Testament priests, the high priest. If God seen the high priest as being good, the people were good. The people could be rat finks. But he's seen the high priest as being good. He's seen the people good. Now, the people could be good, but if the high priest was a rat fink, everybody was in trouble. Now, Jesus, our high priest, is standing at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. How do you suppose God sees Jesus? He sees Jesus as being perfect. How do you suppose he sees you? He sees you as perfect. Jesus did a perfect work in you. See, don't look at yourself in the mirror and see yourself through man's eyes. Look at yourself through the Bible and see yourself through God's eyes. Amen? There's no condemnation to you. You've been set free in Christ Jesus. He wants you to rule and reign in this life. He wants you to stand fast in the liberty in Christ Jesus. Walk in the freedom in Christ Jesus. He knows you're going to make mistakes. But he doesn't want you to be in condemnation over those mistakes. He wants you to run to him and receive of his goodness. When you make a mistake, run to him and say, Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus that has taken care of this. Will you show me how to not do that again? Holy Spirit, help me to walk in victory. Amen? Take his yoke upon him, upon you. Take the yoke of Jesus upon you. How do you do that? By learning of him. Learn how much he loves you. Learn how much he cares for you. Learn how much he's given to you. one popular statement preachers like to shout from the pulpit is, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. Jesus did say that, didn't he? He did say that. I got a question for you. What side of the cross did he say that on? He said that before the cross. After the cross, it tells us to believe the love that God has for you. I promise you, you try to love God more, the devil is going to show you where you missed it. You love God? Why didn't you witness to your drunken neighbor? You call yourself a Christian. You love God? Why didn't you go feed the poor people down the street? You call yourself a Christian. What does God say? He said, believe in the love that God has for you. Believe the love that God has for you. When you believe the love that God has for you, and you let that love infiltrate into your heart, and you let Him love you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to love your drunken neighbor, and you're going to go witness to him. You're going to love the poor people down the road, and you're going to take food to them. And you're not going to be doing it to try to earn favor with God. You're going to do it because you've already earned favor with God, and he's equipped you to go down there and do that. Amen? If we do it God's way, it gets really easy. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you. We thank you that Jesus, our high priest, who's standing at the right hand of God, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, your saints, causes us to have victory in him by the power of the Holy Spirit and your word. We thank you that your word in our heart will spring forth. It will produce fruit in your kingdom, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return on your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cookies fellowship back here. Everybody's welcome to visit a little bit.